Heaven. We all want to get there. After all, it's our ultimate destination, right? Jesus founded the church and gave us the sacraments to help us get to heaven because he knows we're going to stumble and fall along the way. The key is to take his hand, get up, and try again. That's what practicing Catholic is all about. How to accept God's grace and mercy and live as his daughters and sons. At times, it seems out of reach. But we know, with God, all things are possible. Learn to draw inspiration for practical ways we can live in God's love, how to serve God and his people as his local church, and hear about what's happening in the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis. Sit back, relax, and settle in for this week's Practicing Catholic.
Come, Holy Ghost, Creator blessed, and in our hearts take up thy rest. Hey, welcome to Practicing Catholic. Patrick Conley with you again. Yeah, I got a bit of an earworm going on with that tune, so I thought I'd share it. Maybe it can get stuck in your head, too. Entirely appropriate, though, as we're headed into Pentecost Sunday. We're celebrating that momentous gift of God, where he basically gives us the very air we breathe. The Holy Spirit was poured out upon us and has taken up residence within us, both individually, specifically through our baptism and confirmation, and collectively as the church, the body of Christ. You know, Pentecost is traditionally hailed as the birthday of the church. Conceived as blood and water poured forth from the side of Christ on the cross, today, Pentecost, is when we draw our first breath. It is a breath that vivifies us, nurtures us, sustains us, makes us sharers in the divine life, and empowers us to carry on the mission of Christ himself. This breath, of course, is not an it, but a he. It is indeed the Holy Spirit. And in the wonders of the divine economy, amidst the hard work and toil of cooperating with him in Christ's mission, the Holy Spirit is also our rest. As the Pentecost sequence has it, you of comforters are best, you the soul's most welcome guest, sweet refreshment here below. In our Layburg, rest most sweet, grateful coolness in the heat, solace in the midst of woe. As an altogether fitting birthday gift this Pentecost, it is also the day when Archbishop Hebda, Bishop Cousins, and our pastors and clergy, in light of the loosening COVID restrictions, are welcoming the faithful back to Mass. Over at archbspom.org/COVID-19, Archbishop Hebda has posted a video welcoming us back and reminding us of the essential nature of our participation in weekly Mass. We got about a half a minute or so of audio from that video, and Paul has it queued up. Let's take a listen to that now.
Hello, I'm Archbishop Bernard Hebda. After more than a year of social distancing, limited capacities, and mask mandates, we are finally in a position to breathe new life into our communities. I am delighted that all of our parishes are prepared to welcome you back to Mass. For some of you, that may mean returning to in-person Mass for the first time since March 2020. For others who have been attending all along, that may mean a return to congregational singing or coffee and donuts. For all of us, though, this is the time to come together as one church, with everyone being welcomed and encouraged to return to their parish.
All right. Well, when you have a couple of minutes, head on over to archspm.org/COVID-19 and watch the whole video. It's well worth your time. Just to be clear, the dispensation from the Sunday obligation still continues, but while you're not obligated to go to Mass, not yet anyway, if you've been away from Mass for some time, and especially if you're fully vaccinated, what a great time to return during a birthday celebration. This Pentecost, let's all give thanks to the Father and our Lord for his gift of the Holy Spirit. Without him, there is no practicing of our faith. There's no practicing Catholic, for there is no church. There are no sacraments. There is no faith, no hope, no love. Without him, there is no life. On the faithful who adore and confess you evermore, in your sevenfold gift descend. Give us virtue's sure reward. Give us your salvation, Lord. Give us joys that never end. Amen. Alleluia. Well, if you ever need evidence that God answers prayer, think back over the years about how many times you have prayed for vocations to the priesthood. God answers them. Those prayers, as evidenced by the men we'll be speaking with today. It's our annual priestly ordination show, where we'll talk with deacons James Bernard, Michael Reinhardt, Josh Shalonik, and William Duffert. We'll get to know them a bit, as they are just about to receive the manifold graces of the Sacrament of Holy Orders. They are answers to our prayers.
and they are gifts of God to our local church. On Saturday, May 29th, starting at 10 a.m. at the Cathedral of St. Paul, they will undergo the transition to the priesthood, emerging as the men who will then act in persona Christi capitis. By the way, the public is invited to attend the ordination in person. It will also be live streamed on the cathedral website, cathedralstpaul.org. We'll also speak with Father Joseph Taphorn, rector and vice president of the St. Paul Seminary, with a bit of an inside look as to what these men go through at the seminary as part of their formation. That's all coming up in just a moment here, but let's, as always, pause here at the top of the show, offering the show over to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother. So please pray with me in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. First off, we're going to talk with Deacons James Bernard and Michael Reinhardt as we are exploring the men who are going to be our newest priests coming up in the end of the month. And I want to say, first off, thank you for your yes, gentlemen. Thank you for saying yes to the call of God in your life. And Deacon Bernard, let's start with you with the question, who is someone in your life who has had a significant impact on your vocation?
Well, there have been a lot of people who have walked with me. I remember a specific moment back when I was a kid, when my dad, he was always a lector at Mass or a usher, always helped out at Mass, and he approached me and he said, "Would you like to be an altar boy?" And I said yes, and so we went up to Father after Mass, and so that was kind of the beginning for me. Also, I have several aunts and uncles who have been praying for me throughout my journey, so yeah, a lot of people have really walked with me at different points in my journey, but I recall that moment when my dad invited me to serve the Mass.
Yeah, and that's always a significant portion too, a significant occurrence when you are getting more and more involved with the actual celebration of the Mass. We'll come back to you in just a minute, but Deacon Reinhardt, same question for you. Someone in your life who's had a significant impact on your vocation, please.
Yeah, I'm a convert and a relatively latecomer to the faith. Sometimes I say that I'm the second youngest Catholic at the seminary, even though I'm 43. And so this wasn't on the radar as a kid. So I would say, you know, after I came into the church in 2013, I continued to help out with the RCIA program. And I sponsored a couple of men through that. But just that act of giving in ministry, I think strengthened the call, the ability to hear the call. I think our faith comes alive when we share it with others, and I found that true in the RCA program. And so I'd say Paula, who led that, was an influence for me in hearing this vocation.
Yeah, very good. So maybe this is in more recent memory, obviously, for you, Deacon Reinhardt, but when did you first start to sense that the Lord was calling you to the priesthood?
Yeah, so I came in, I was confirmed the Easter Vigil 2013, and directly after that, I went to Spain to walk the Camino de Santiago, and I didn't sense it then, but that experience, a month of walking west towards Santiago de Compostela, where the bones of St. James the Greater are kept. That's an experience where you have a lot of time for prayer, to be alone with God, a time away from busyness and the hectic pace of our normal routines. Sure. And so I think that helped me be in a position where I could actually start to listen for God and what he wanted to do with me. So I think I would not be here had I not had that experience. And I started hearing that call the following December, just a sense that maybe this is where the Lord might want me to be, and started muddling through the discernment process for about a year and a half after that.
That was in December of 2014?
2013.
2013,
and then,
oh, okay.
And then this, you know, I was pretty clueless about discernment. So when I say muddle, I felt like it was really a muddle, but then I And, you know, May 2015, I was thinking, well, if, you know, this isn't going away, if this is where I'm meant to be, I should pick up an application and start that process. So I might be able to join the seminary in that fall. And so when I picked up that application, there's a real powerful sense of confirmation there. And that's been confirmed in many ways throughout my years here at the seminary.
Well, it's wonderful to see, and here you are on the cusp, but we'll get back to that in just a moment. But Deacon Bernard, I wanted to ask you the same question. How about, you mentioned having your dad invite you to serve at Mass, but is that when you first started to sense the Lord might be calling you to the priesthood, or was it a bit after that?
It was quite a bit after that. I would say probably about my sophomore year of college. I was up at St. Cloud State University, and I'd come home for a vacation, for a school break. And several people had said something to me during that short period of time, people from different aspects of my life, priests, people from high school, etc., just saying something to me about it, like, oh, I could see you being a priest, or you'd be a good priest. Mm. And I began going to daily Mass around that time as well, and so that's when I really started thinking about it, and that's when I felt the call originally.
Mm. Yeah, that daily Mass can kind of get its talons into you, can it, when you're doing something like that? No, it really does. Like you said with the Camino as well, Deacon Reinhardt, that you need to just open yourself up to hearing the voice of God. And daily Mass or the Camino or many other ways can do that as well. Deacon Bernard, I'll stick with you for this next question. What person, living or passed away, would be most surprised that you're about to get ordained a priest?
Ah, that's a good question. I would say my family in general. I come from a family of teachers, and actually I was a teacher before coming into seminary, so that was just sort of something that was always on my radar, of something that I was always interested in doing, was becoming a teacher. And so I would say my parents, my brothers. This never was really on the radar or part of the conversation, so...
All right. Very good. Deacon Reinhardt, you might have a little bit of a deeper well from which to draw in answer to that question, seeing that you came into the faith in 2013. But why don't you take a stab at it too? What person, living or passed away, would be most surprised that you're about to get ordained a priest?
Yeah, so I'd say in some sense myself, I look back at the path, and there's a lot of curves on that path.
Yeah.
You know, this is my third degree. I've been through engineering and law and grew up a Lutheran. And so to find myself here, I still laugh. It's a beautiful experience, but it was not on the radar until, just a year or two before I entered seminary. I just had a chance to catch up with a friend I've known, since middle school this past weekend. And, you know, we were talking, reminiscing, and I remember sharing with him, that I was entering the seminary. And his reaction then, and he still remembered it this past weekend, well, that wasn't one of the options.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't right on the radar. And so yeah. I think a lot of people in my life are surprised, but also very happy for me.
Well, you're leading me into the next question, Deacon Reinhardt, so you might as well answer it first. Who, other than yourself, do you think is the most happiest, or the happiest for you?
I've got a good friend that I met in RCIA, David, that we've kept in close contact with. I think he's really happy for me. I think the brothers that I've been walking through this, Jimmy among them, are really pleased. They've been an incredible support and source of encouragement for me. So I think, and I'm certainly happy to be walking on this journey with them. And I think they share that feeling.
Wonderful. How about you, Deacon Bernard? Who is, other than yourself, is happiest for you?
Well, I would say my aunts and uncles. I have aunts and uncles who've been praying with me or praying for me throughout this entire journey. I'm fortunate enough to have an aunt who is a professor at the seminary, so she got to see me not only through the discernment process, but also as I entered through seminary. But my godparents and my other aunts and uncles have just been praying for me and have seen a call in me for a long time and have been sort of praying that I would respond generously to what the Lord was calling me to.
Very good. Very good. Next up, Deacon Bernard, let me start with you on this one. So what are some of the things that you enjoy if and when you get spare time? And do you have any fear and trepidation that you will not have the time to do it anymore?
Well, a couple of my hobbies include brewing beer and traveling. And one thing that I've learned, I'm not really afraid that I won't be able to enjoy those things anymore, because one thing I've found from my seminary formation is I really thought that I was setting something down in my life in order to pick up something new. But I've really seen how the Lord uses our experiences, uses our interests and hobbies to further His kingdom. So, like I mentioned, being an ESL teacher before, teaching English as a second language, and I found opportunities to do that at Sharing and Caring Hands, tutoring kids, and doing some other things, being at a teaching parish with Latinos. So I really believe that the Lord will continue to use my interests, my hobbies, my skills, the skills that He's given me as gifts, and the skills that He's helped me to develop.
Right. Any chance that you'll be looking to lead some pilgrimages then, if you enjoy traveling?
That would be fantastic.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, we'll keep our eyes open for that, and we'll sign up for those. How about you, Deacon Reinhardt? What are things that you enjoy doing, some of your hobbies in your spare time, and any thought that you might not be able to continue those?
Yeah, so, you know, one thing, I enjoy the outdoors, everything from trips up to the Boundary Waters. I was able to take a few of these men up with me this past August, which was a fantastic experience, including Jimmy.
Nice.
But just getting out where, you know, the seminary is located right here on the Mississippi, and I love walking up and down the river, just enjoying the nature right here. And I see that opportunities for that will continue. I like having, good conversations over dinner with friends. I like cooking. I think I can do some of that as well. I'm looking forward to seeing how that can be integrated into life as a priest, but I'm not worried that it won't be.
Yeah. Well, I just asked the question because I think a lot of times our priests, there's always, well, I was going to say there's always something to do. That's not true. There's always at least five things that you should be doing or you feel like you should be doing. But of course, we want our priests to get good leisure time as well, good rest and recuperation, and to honor the Sabbath. Yes, absolutely. Well, thank you. And I'm glad that both of you intend to continue your hobbies into your priesthood as well. So, Deacon Reinhardt, let me ask you, I know this is a difficult question, but can you put into words what it feels like being on the brink of ordination? I mean, it's coming up real soon here. We're seeing, as it were, the light at the end of the tunnel, and what's going through your mind and your heart in this hour?
You know, I would say that there's two different channels there, and one is just all the details, finishing up the semester, getting ready for a reception after the ordination, and for my family coming into town. And fortunately, I've got someone helping with that. But just that there's a general sense of peace and excitement about being ordained, an eagerness to get into the parish to help minister to people, share the good word. And you know, we've been prepared as well as we can be during these years at the seminary, which, you know, they could have spent another, you know, 4 or 6 years deepening that. You know, it's a lifetime journey of learning and growing as a priest. I had a powerful, I think, blessing when I was ordained a deacon. Just preaching has been really rich for me, and I look forward to seeing what particular graces the Lord has in store for me with the ordination to the priesthood.
Absolutely wonderful. Great to hear it. All right, Deacon Bernard, how about you? What's it feel like being so close to ordination?
Well, there's a lot of uncertainty and excitement at the same time. Of course, we're leaving a great community here at the seminary. The fraternity and the community life is really something that's helped in our formation, and leaving sort of that that community and having an in-house formator and spiritual director. But it's also exciting because We had the opportunity to be in a parish for our deacon summer this past summer. And as Deacon Mike mentioned, the opportunity to preach and be with the people and walk with the people. And so I'm very excited for that.
Wonderful. Well, gentlemen, we are right up against the end of our time, but I want to again thank you for your yes. And just quickly, Deacon Bernard, any specific way that we can pray for you and uphold you during this these final few days before ordination?
Just to pray for, like I mentioned, there's a lot of, we don't know where we're going to be assigned. So just praying that we're open to all of the ways that the Lord desires to use us as his instruments to serve his people.
Wonderful. How about you, Deacon Reinhardt? Any specific prayer intentions?
Yeah, I'd say praying for us as we near ordination, but also sharing with us that you're praying for us. It's delightful to receive cards just from people I haven't met and haven't had a chance to meet yet, just how they've been praying for me over the years, and it's been a tremendous blessing and encouragement. So please keep those encouragements coming.
Absolutely. We shall. Deacons Michael Reinhardt and James Bernard, thank you so much for joining us on the program, and we wish you all the best, and we'll continue praying for you. God bless you both.
Thank you, Patrick.
God bless you.
All right. We're going to head into our first break. When we come back, we'll continue our inside look at the men who will be our newest priests as we sit down with Deacons Josh Salonik and William Dufford. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
How has Relevant Radio impacted your daily walk with our Lord?
When you can hear other people's stories of faith, stories of struggles, really helps me in my faith to know that I'm not alone. It doesn't matter where we are across the miles, we're all together as part of the body of Christ. That station has really blessed my life.
You just never know what you're going to hear on Relevant Radio that's going to help you on your path to heaven, to take you to that next level spiritually. There's always something new every single day with all of our hosts, with the three priests who answer your questions every day, with the other guests that we have. Your donation goes a long way to touching souls.
Donate now on the Relevant Radio website or app, or give us a call, 1-877-291-0123. That's 1-877-291-0123.
When you call, ask about making a recurring gift. There are benefits for both you and for Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to Practicing Catholic as we're continuing on in our annual Priestly Ordination Show. Next up, we have Deacons Josh Salonik and William Dufford, who are joining us now to talk about their experiences as they're heading into ordination. Deacons, welcome to you.
Thank you, Patrick.
Yeah, good morning to you. Yeah, excellent to have you both on the program. Thank you for, as I said to the previous deacons as well, thank you for your yes to the vocational call on your life here. And Deacon Salonik, I think we'll start with you. Who's someone in your life who has had a significant impact on your vocation?
Yeah, significant impact on my vocation. Probably be a friend of mine. His name's John DeLozier. Throughout middle school and high school, I'd say that he kind of discipled me as I walked through those kind of turbulent years of life. So he walked with me, and he encouraged me along in my faith, and I owe a lot to him.
Wonderful. Thank you for that. How about you, Deacon Dufford? Someone who's had a significant impact on your vocation?
Yeah, certainly my parents have had an impact on my vocation. They have each, in their own way, influenced my prayer life and my discernment process. And a lot of that influence, I think, came from just the way they raised my brother, my sister, and I, teaching us to keep the Lord at the center of our lives. For example, they worked hard to send all three of us to Catholic schools, kindergarten through high school, and that definitely had an impact on me.
Mm. Always good to hear of the impact of our Catholic schools, so thanks for that testimony. Yeah, absolutely. Deacon Dufford, also, we'll start with you on this one. When did you first start to sense that the Lord might be calling you to the priesthood?
Yeah, for me, it really wasn't until college. It was my junior year that I remember first, thinking and praying about what God really wants me to do with my life. That was junior year, so I was approaching graduation, and I didn't know what the Lord wanted from me. So I remember I started going to the on-campus chapel and just sitting in silence and praying. And that was really when I first noticed that quiet stirring in my heart that made me ask the question, is God calling me to discern the priesthood?
Mm. Wonderful. How about you, Deacon Salonik? When was the first time that you started to sense that the Lord might be calling you to the priesthood?
Yeah, the first time that I think I got that sense, maybe it was in 2006 when I went to a summer camp called Extreme Faith Camp. It was during that time that I had an encounter with Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. And from there, that really took off and into a real relationship with him. And so it was probably from there that I kind of had like an inkling that, like, God might be calling me to the priesthood. And that was kind of developed by, you know, a friend of mine, John Alosier, right? A mentor of mine who, he went to seminary just a few years before I did. And there was other men from my parish who went before me. One of them is Father Paul Shovlin, who I think you may have had on the show before.
Sure, yep.
And Father Andrew Zipp. And then, mm-hmm. There's a few others who I'd since discerned out, but John Delosier was also one of them. And so to see these men who were normal, live their lives, and see them pursue that, answering that question, if God was calling them, it made it easier for me to lean into that, to actually figure out, like, maybe God is calling me. Maybe that's a pretty normal thing for young men to consider.
Yeah. You know what? I appreciate that you both give testimony to the fact of encountering the Lord's call in the presence of the Holy Sacrament, in the presence of the Eucharist. And that's something that I think always needs to be underscored for all people, regardless of their age, that's where we can hear clearly. Although it might just be an inkling, it might be the start of a calling, but at least there we hear the Lord speaking to us. So thank you for that. Deacon Duffer, we'll start with you on this one. Sorry, no, let's stick with you, Deacon Salonik. We'll start with you on this one because this is a tricky one, and I'm going to pitch it to you first. What person living or passed away would be most surprised that you're getting ordained as a priest?
Most surprised that I'm going to be ordained a priest. Yeah.
Tricky one, right?
Yeah, definitely a tricky one. One I didn't see coming, but that's fine. Maybe a girlfriend from the past
who, sure,
I broke up with for the sake of pursuing priesthood, kind of praying about it more. This is kind of earlier on in my life, kind of early high school. And so I kind of had that feeling, but I also, you know, liked her. And so there was kind of this dance we played for a little while. So, yeah, I thought about it more seriously and said, you know what, I think I had to pursue that a little bit more.
Okay, very good. Deacon Duffer, you've had a little more time to think about it. What person, yeah, living or passed away, would be most surprised that you're getting ordained a priest?
Yeah, you know, Patrick, that's a good question. And it's funny because when I was first starting to tell people, you know, I think I'm going to enter the seminary, I might have been the one that was most surprised because I would tell family and friends and they would, you know, they would respond, oh, yeah, that makes sense, or, yeah, we can see that.
Mm.
Or, you know, for example, I told my parents thinking that they'd be, you know, surprised or I didn't know what to expect. And I remember my mom, she had said, you know, yeah, that makes sense. I've been praying about that lately in my 3 hours. So maybe I was the one that was most
okay. Yeah, that is an acceptable answer. Yes, absolutely. And God bless our mothers who can see through us so well. Yes, that's very good. All right, Deacon Duffert, we'll stick with you for this next one. Who other than yourself do you think is among the happiest for you?
You know, I'm going to stick with my family on this too. My family has been so supportive and they're very happy for me. And I'm just very blessed. And it's something I didn't realize until I got to seminary that, you know, families aren't always supportive of vocation. You know, I've known a couple of seminary brothers who, whose families don't necessarily understand the call to the priesthood or to religious life. So, they don't have that support at home. And, for me, it makes me not want to take that for granted. It's just the fact that I have a family that is so supportive of my vocation,
yeah,
and happy for me.
God bless them. Absolutely. Yeah. Deacon Salonik, how about you? Who's happiest for you?
Yeah, I would echo what Bill Dufford already said, Deacon Bill. My family. I think that they're just really excited for me, to become a priest. And, yeah, I think I'm really grateful that they are excited, right, as Bill talked about. And, yeah, that sometimes that's not always the case.
That's right. So
it does take a lot, right, to have a family who is supportive, is praying for me as I get closer. So I'm really, really grateful for that.
Yeah, just again, underscoring the importance of our families as well. So that's wonderful. So, yep, Catholic moms, Catholic dads, continue practicing your faith and look for how the Lord might be leading your children. Yeah. All right, Deacon Salonik, let's stick with you. What are some of your hobbies, and do you think you'll have to stop doing them due to the demands on your time as a priest?
Some of my hobbies include, like, card games and board games. I used to play a lot of Ultimate Frisbee when I was in minor seminary. I think okay. That one I might not have as much time for in the future here as a priest. But, yeah, I think card games, you know, I like playing 500 and I like playing Hearts and a bunch of other card games. I really like playing those, and I think I still will be able to keep playing those, albeit not as often maybe as during seminary. But,
sure.
Yeah, I think that's a hobby that will easily be continued in the priesthood.
Okay, very good. And Deacon Dufford, how about you?
Yeah, some hobbies. I've been running for most of my life, and that's always been a good source of, you know, stress relief and fun for me. And also music as well has always been a source of fun for me. Playing bass guitar, for example, has been a
nice.
Source of great fraternity as well.
Oh, fellow bassist.
Really?
I'm impressed. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
we'll have to jam sometime, Patrick.
Two basses jamming together. Okay.
Yeah, we'll find a drummer somewhere.
There you go.
So, and I hope those, I can still lean into those because they're a source of great fruit in my life. And I don't see, with all the responsibilities and duties of a priest, I would see that they would, continue to bring fruit in my life and fraternity as well.
Yeah, very good. Now, I do have to ask, Deacon Dufford, then, have you shared with your discernment committee that you actually find running fun?
No.
That might raise some questions about your sanity.
Right, I know. I've been told that before, so.
Very good. No, yeah. Taking care of the body, it is the temple of the Lord. So, yep, exactly. That's a
thankfully,
good thing.
Thankfully, the rector here at the seminary, Father Taphorn, is a fellow runner, so.
Oh, yeah. Boy. Well, he's up next in our interview, so I'll have to take to him, too. Yeah, I'll ask him. All right. Well, so again, this might be hard to put into words, but I'm just wondering if you can share with us basically what's going on in your heart and your mind as we're now so close to ordination. What's it feel like? Deacon Dufford, why don't we start with you?
It's very exciting, Patrick, just to think and to pray about what my priestly ministry will look like in the parish. I'm very eager to get into the parish. As I think Deacons Mike and James Renard had mentioned, we had a parish assignment last summer as deacons.
Right.
And I just noticed a lot of life in the parish for me and in my heart while I was there serving that community. And so ever since then, I've just been very eager to get back into the parish. And also, it's just, it's an exciting time too, as, you know, some of the COVID-19 restrictions we're having less restrictions. And parishes are beginning to open up more. It's exciting to see how that will play out as the weeks and months play.
Yeah, I know our priests have said how much they just have been, well, in a sense, crushed by the restrictions and how they, especially being apart from the faithful, especially early on in the pandemic. So good voice to that you gave there. So thanks for that. Deacon Salonik, how about you? What's it feel like being on the brink of ordination?
Yeah, it feels really good. So last year, when we were ordained deacons, it almost is in some way a bigger step than it is from deacon to priest. Because, you know, when we're deacons and we make our promises, we make our promises of obedience, promises to pray, and a promise of celibacy, that's the beginning of it, right? And
right.
so it's only reaffirmed then in the ordination for the priest. And so it's, yeah, I'm just really excited to celebrate the sacraments, specifically the Mass and confessions. Just so very excited for it as it comes closer each day.
Yeah, very good. Well, we are very excited for you as well. And I wanted to make sure and give some time because obviously I started the show by talking about how you men are the answers to our many, many prayers for vocations to the priesthood. And I wanted to give some time and to ask you, is there any specific ways that we, the lay faithful, can continue to uphold you in prayer, especially as ordination comes close, as you begin your priestly ministry? Deacon Salonik, how about you? Any specific ways that we can pray for you?
Yeah, just continued grace. There's that consolation there. I look forward to the priesthood. Grace or that ordination itself. Outpouring of the Holy Spirit come upon me and fill me with grace for the rest of my life for all of priesthood.
Yeah. Well, very good. Absolutely. We will pray that God does. He's very, as he always is, very generous with his graces to you, especially as you receive this sacrament. Deacon Dufford, how about you? Any specific prayer intentions?
Yeah, similar to Deacon Josh. Just pray that my heart will be open to receiving any and all the graces that God wants to give me on the day of ordination. And just pray that, you know, I can lean into those gifts that he has given me as I enter into priestly ministry.
Yeah. Wow. And hopefully that in the midst of all these graces poured out, that he will give you sufficient time also to run, to rest, and to enjoy some leisure time as well. I was speaking with Deacons Bernard and Reinhardt about that, how much our priests need time for real rest that is given to us in the Holy Spirit, who we celebrate this weekend in Pentecost. So thank you so much for your time here on Practicing Catholic. We're grateful for your service. Again, we're grateful for you. Yes, we will indeed uphold you in prayer. And hopefully there'll be many people who are there in person at the cathedral to witness your ordination and many more who are watching it through the live stream going on. So God bless you, deacons. Thank you for being on our program.
Thank you, Patrick.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, good to be with you.
And good to be with you, too. Well, we've got just the information on that ordination mass again. It's Saturday, May 29th, starting at 10 o'clock in the morning at the Cathedral of St. Paul. The faithful are invited to attend in person, but masks will be required. No registration is necessary. And it will also be live streamed on the cathedral website, which is cathedral, S-A-I-N-T, paul.org. That's the website you want to go to if you'd like to watch it via live stream. But yeah, tune in as these men are ordained to the priesthood. It's if you've never been to one especially, I think it will inspire you. I think it will fill your heart with a love of God and of his church as well. All right, we're going to head into our next break. Please do continue to pray for these men as they're ordained. And we're going to go, we're going to speak with Father Joseph Taphorn after this break, rector of the St. Paul Seminary, with an inside look at priestly formation. Stick around.
This is how we sometimes look at confession. Oh, I got to go and I got to get rid of my sin because if I don't, then I'm going to be in trouble.
In Central Texas, Monty, welcome to Morning Air. You're on with Marcel.
I began to wonder for myself, what if I embraced the sacrament of penance in the same way I do all the other wonderful things that the Holy Mother Church offers us? And so I began to do that, and it totally transformed confession for me. And I just really love to go to confession. Now, and a friend of mine gave me another tip. He said, you know, when you're sitting there and you have that anxiety and that fear about walking through that door, pray to your Holy Mother and ask her to go with you. And just like she leads us to her son, she'll take us in there, and it'll be okay. And like you guys have said, that coming out of that room, that there's no feeling like that, clean and ready to receive the Holy Eucharist. It's just the greatest thing on earth.
Maybe you should be the next guest on the show, because that was beautiful.
Experts with insight on our Catholic faith.
Morning Air, 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. Patrick Conley, glad to be with you again, along with Cami Berthume, our producer, Paul Sonic, our technical producer, coming to you through the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley. Next up, we're speaking with the rector and vice president of the St. Paul Seminary School of Divinity, Father Joseph Taphorn, who joins us And to give us a little bit of an insight into what goes on as part of priestly formation, as it is our annual priestly ordination show, Father Taphorn, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Patrick. Great to be here.
Absolutely. And I have to start off with, okay, so we just spoke with Deacon Duffert, who was saying that running is a release for him. It's a way of resting and having fun. And I asked him if he'd shared that with his discernment committee, because that might question his sanity somewhat. But then he said that you also are a runner. Is that the case?
That is the case. Yes, that's right. So we've both been afflicted with it, I think. So
okay, very good. And
there's
a
handful of us out here. So
okay, well, that's good. And obviously, then he was hopeful of continuing on that, even with the demands, all the demands of the priestly life. Obviously, with the demands on your life, which I'm sure are manifold, there is still time to run. Yeah.
Well, there is, and actually, believe it or not, I was trying to coax some of the men into signing up for the Twin Cities Marathon, which I signed up for. I've done a few in my life and did one 2 years ago. I got no takers, so I'm a little discouraged here. That might be the bigger formation issue, is nobody wants to run a marathon with the rector, so someone suggested I put them under obedience.
There you go.
Require it, but I probably won't go quite that far. But
yeah, well, they might be afraid that you're going to show them up.
Well, I'm about twice their age, so I can get through it, but it's not particularly pretty.
Yeah, but see, you may have been doing it for twice as long too. So
well, that could be. That's right.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get down to the business at hand, which is specifically speaking about priestly formation. I'm wondering if you can just give us a snapshot of priestly formation, because a lot of us, I think, not in the know, would think that it's about guys going to classes and they're writing papers and they're learning about theology, they're learning about the sacraments, they're learning about salvation, they're learning about our Lord, all these things. But there's much more to it than that, isn't there?
There is, and that's a great question. And I think the understanding of the church, I think, has changed over time as well. I think that, I was in seminary about 25 years ago, and back then, and maybe even a little bit previous to that, I think people viewed it as really largely an academic thing. We're graduate students and you're going to school, or we might say, I'm going to seminary classes. We use a lot of that language sort of in the academic realm. In fact, following the Second Vatican Council, the place sort of in the Vatican congregations that was responsible for seminary formation was the Congregation for Education. So you kind of saw a clear kind of alignment with education. It shifted, and if I remember right, it was either Leighton John Paul or in Pope Benedict when the supervising congregation became the Congregation for Clergy, not education. And I think that was a nod, which really began with John Paul II in his apostolic exhortation back in 1992, which is called Pastores Dabo Vobis, or Latin for I Will Give You Shepherds. And that really is kind of the seminal document on priestly formation, I'd say, in the modern era. And there's been developments from then. But John Paul articulated four dimensions of priestly formation, and not just one. So again, the one would be, well, it's academic. You take classes, you study theology, you pass your classes, and you get ordained a priest after, 4 or 6 years, depending on, how many courses you need to take. But John Paul really laid out a new vision, which is, no, this is going to be a process of what we now call integrated formation. And there are four basic dimensions that sort of work together in harmony. And that would be, first of all, human formation. So kind of recognizing that grace builds on nature, and that all of this sort of subsists in the humanity of the individual. So a seminarian's human formation, his spiritual formation is kind of seen as maybe even above the others. That above all, we want a holy priest. We want a man who has a deep relationship with God, who's given himself over to configuration in Christ. So the spiritual formation, certainly the academic formation is there, or intellectual formation, we might say more broadly, not just about academic classes and credits, but just the life of the intellect. The intellect is ordered towards the truth. Doesn't always have to be done in a class. That might encompass even sort of the kinds of things he's reading for leisure and the arts and music, other ways that we kind of appropriate the true, the good, and the beautiful. And then finally, the pastoral dimension, which would be, okay, what are the skills that this individual needs, this man needs, to relate pastorally to people? So certainly liturgical things, how to celebrate the Mass, how to preach, how to celebrate the sacraments, but also things like pastoral counseling, or how to run a parish council meeting, or how to form a leadership team in a parish. What are these sort of the
kind of the pastoral skill set that he needs. That's going to be drawing from his theological studies and his spiritual life, and his humanity, and how he's able to build and establish relationships. But we see with this broader vision that these four have to come together, and so it's much, much more than just going to class. It's really really an amazing enterprise that these men sort of sign up for and submit to, and it's really impressive to watch their growth as human beings, as men, ultimately, of course, as those prepared to be ordained a priest of Jesus Christ.
Mm, right. And actually, I was going to ask you that, too. Is there any way that you can express what some of this, just observing what that's like when you see these men who are growing in these four capacities, human, spiritual, intellectual, and pastoral, as you see that happening, what does that do within you?
You know, it really is just, certainly there's pride, there's joy. Last night, we honored our men, the four men who will be ordained. Well, actually, the whole class is 18 of them, four here from this archdiocese, but we have 18 men in this Theology 4 class who are now deacons who will go off to different dioceses here, and principally the Upper Midwest, and will serve as priests. So we had a chance to honor them last night. And it was really beautiful to hear those responsible for their formation. So each man has a spiritual director. He is a priest who serves as a formation director. He has one of our lay faculty who serves as an academic advisor. So these would be the kind of people. There was, you know, each seminary could choose somebody to sort of do the toast and the honoring for him last night at our celebration. But to hear these different formators kind of speak into that, right? You know, I remember when you started here, you know, 4 years ago, 6 years ago, you know, how you were this or that. And again, kind of reflecting on the man's own growth, and then just kind of forward looking, you know, what a gift he's going to be for his future parishioners, for the church. And it certainly fills me with great pride. I still see myself as a little bit new. I've been here as rector for 2.5 years. And so I don't know them as long as some of our faculty, like these men who will be graduating again, right? There's the academic word, but who will be leaving us for ordination. But it does feel with great pride. And when you see somebody who honestly engages the process of formation, acknowledges areas of growth, and it's really direct conversations that the formators have, and it takes a lot of humility, I think, on the part of the man, but they so much desire to want to be configured to Jesus Christ. They desire to serve and be the good shepherd as Jesus was, that they're willing to kind of open themselves up to this process of growth, and it's painful at times, and we have to challenge at times, and you certainly acknowledge and applaud the good things and the growth, and you challenge those areas where growth is still needed. But it's a beautiful thing, and it fills me with great joy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and kind of echoing the way of St. Paul there of beating our body and giving ourselves, fixing our eyes on the Lord and running the race in such a way as to win and that sort of thing. So just a really good to hear about the role that our formators play there at the seminary. Now, just looking back on your own seminary formation, did you have formators like that as well? And if so, do you still have fond memories of them? And are you still in touch with any of them?
You know, yeah, it's interesting you asked that. I am, as a matter of fact. So, I started in seminary in 1993, which had been a year after Pastores Dabo Vobis that I mentioned, that kind of laid out the four dimensions. Right. So that was all kind of new. And it's not that there were echoes of it even before then, but I think John Paul really crystallized it and made it explicit. I had we call sort of the external formator, the human formation director, who actually is now the Bishop of Phoenix, Monsignor Tom Olmsted, or Bishop Tom Olmsted. He was then Monsignor Olmsted. I went to the Josephinum in Columbus, Ohio. And I still do keep in touch with him, and there have been times throughout my priesthood when I've called him if I just kind of, you know, hit a rough patch or just need a wise voice. And I did chancery administration for many years in Omaha. I'm a priest of the Archdiocese of Omaha. You know, I'm on loan up here, but I was 15 years in our chancery working with two archbishops. And sometimes I just needed a voice sort of outside of my own circle to bounce things off of and get encouragement. And so he's a man I greatly cherish. Unfortunately, the two spiritual directors I was also very fond of. I had a Franciscan and a Jesuit who were dear men, holy men. Both have since passed away. But I think of them frequently. And even here, when I give conferences to the men, I find myself talking about my own seminary experience and some of the great formators that I had in my life. So it is significant. And when these sort of father-son relationships, in a sense, are formed. You know, we really see ourselves here as spiritual fathers to the seminarians,
yeah.
and we're sort of passing on sort of what we ourselves have received, and we don't know perfectly. We're still growing, too. You know, we also give the message, too, and John Paul says this clearly, that priesthood formation really never ends until we pass from this life. So there's this phase of what we call ongoing formation even after ordination, so we emphasize that. And I'm in a class right now doing ongoing formation, so there's a program that I'm participating in to earn a certificate in seminary spiritual formation. So you know, how to be a seminary formator, essentially. I thought, well, gee, I better learn how to do this. I'm running a seminary. So, you know, even though I've been a priest for many years, I'm still learning, and the opportunity to get away and consult with others who are more wise in this field and done it longer. Again, it's really a great gift that the church makes space for this process, and we really want the best for these young men, because not just for them, but for their people. You know, we know the value that a good priest can make. We also know that there can be challenges and harm for those who are not well formed or who don't act as a good shepherd. And so, right. I think we're very wide eyed about the significance of what we do here.
Sure. And in terms of supporting, obviously, I pray that for all these men who will be ordained on the 29th, that they are all well looked after. But how about for laity, maybe specifically in the laity in the parishes to which they will be assigned, any specific way that we can support them as new priests?
You know, I think it always comes down, I think, oftentimes to just sort of the simple relationships, you know. So certainly, you know, just the general kindnesses, greeting after Mass, you know, lingering at, you know, going to donuts and coffee, and if that's offered, or whatever, you know, whatever kind of parish activities there are. I think the parish priest is going to probably first get to know those people who are involved in parishes, those who are involved in parish council and committees. I remember when I was a young priest, I was part of the RCA, kind of led the RCA team, and I became pretty close with those folks, and that was kind of a window into families, into people, and I still keep in touch with some of those people, again, from many years ago. So the more that I think that people are engaged, and even if you're not super engaged, you know, maybe a lot of the listeners don't have the time or bandwidth right now to maybe to be involved in specific parish ministries, but just those ways of, you know, affirmation, you know, sending a note to Father if there's a good homily that really moved you, or you want to reach out to him and ask for prayers. I think priests love to hear, how can I pray for you? And those kinds of, I think, sort of one-on-one connections, I think that makes it all very alive. Mm-hmm. It can be a little difficult if it's just sort of a sea of faces out there and you don't really kind of know people. And that takes time, you know. The first year is hard, I think, oftentimes for a new priest. It's a new community, a new environment. He leaves sort of the structured environment of the seminary, but to know that there's friendly people there who'll be patient with him, you know, he's going to make mistakes. He may be a little awkward in the sanctuary. He might, you know, forget names in a meeting or mess something up. But I think just to have great patience and love would be a great gift to the priest.
That's wonderful. Well, Father, we thank you for the time that you've given us today on the show, and we're grateful for all the time that you give to these men as they are being formed and discerning the call of God in their life further, and for these men who will be ordained to the priesthood very, very soon. Before we let you go, Father, would you leave us with your blessing, please?
I'd be honored to. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Father Joseph Taphorn, thank you so much for joining us here on Practicing Catholic.
All right. Take care. God bless, Patrick.
Yeah, very good. All right. We're going to head into our final break. You know, in addition to praying for an increased vocation to the priesthood, also remember to pray for Father Taphorn, the faculty and staff of the St. Paul Seminary, as well as St. John Vianney College Seminary. More things to pray for and get involved in from Paul and me when we get back. Stay with us.
How has Relevant Radio impacted your daily walk with our Lord?
I'd just like to offer up 1,000 thanksgivings to our Father in Heaven. I've been praying the chaplet with you guys for the past 19 months. While I was incarcerated, my heart has been so softened through this ministry.
Oh gosh, the fruit of Relevant Radio has been off the charts. Lives have been changed. Prayer has been fostered. It's just been a wonderful, wonderful gift to, I know, a lot of communities. And now the world can listen to us in the country over our mobile app. We're listener-supported Catholic talk radio. And there's very few of these types of stations in the nation. And we try to give you a different look at life. And in order to stay on the air, we rely on you and your generosity.
Donate now. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. There are both spiritual and practical benefits to joining our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. Call 1-877-291-0123. 1-877-291-0123.
Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. There are signs that we're emerging from the pandemic, but it ain't over yet, folks. Remember to follow parish guidelines as set by your pastor and parish leadership, and to stay up to date with the latest on the pandemic and the local church. And for the full message from Archbishop Hebda that we heard this morning at the top of the show, visit archspm.org/COVID-19.
And if you're not quite ready to return in person to Mass, or even if you are, remember you can always hear daily Mass and devotions here on Relevant Radio and on the Relevant Radio app. 4 a.m., prayer and reflection with Daybreak, noon, daily Mass, 3 p.m., Divine Mercy Chaplet with Drew, 7 p.m., Family Rosary Across America, followed by daily Mass again at 7:30, Sunday Mass at 9 a.m. and noon.
And here, once again, is all the info on the upcoming ordination to the priesthood as featured on the show today. The priestly ordination Mass will be next Saturday, May 29th, beginning at 10 a.m. at the Cathedral of St. Paul. All the faithful are invited to join the Mass in person, but masks will be required. The Mass will also be live-streamed on the Cathedral website, cathedralsaintpaul.org. By the way, if you're going in person, I'd recommend planning to get there early.
Get a jump on Synod small groups coming up this fall. Head on over to archspm.org/synod. Find out how Synod small groups will work, what will be discussed, how and why you should take part. It's all at archspm.org/synod, where you'll also find resources like the Praying with Scripture series, the Synod at Home series, the Healing and Hope Retreat, and more.
And if you're listening on Friday or Saturday, there's still time to join Archbishop Hebda, Bishop Cousins, and the charismatic groups of the Archdiocese for the Archdiocesan Pentecost Vigil Mass this Saturday, May 22nd at 6 p.m. Mass will be held outdoors at St. Bonaventure Catholic Church in Bloomington. Please bring your own chair or blanket and head over to archspm.org/events for more information.
All married couples are invited to celebrate the gift of your vocation at the Archdiocesan Marriage Day Celebration Mass with Archbishop Bernard Hebda Saturday, June 5th, 10 a.m. at the Cathedral. Those celebrating their silver or golden anniversaries in 2021 will be honored in a special way. For more information and to register for the post-mass reception, head over to archspm.org/events.
PracticingCatholicShow.com. 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 All right, I've said it three times.
I think we get the point.
Well in your memory now. So, yep, just jump online. Head over to PracticingCatholicShow.com, which is our one-stop online shop here. You'll find links to past interviews, all our social media, and how to suggest a guest or topic. You can find all that at PracticingCatholicShow.com. By the way, in case you are unaware, the Monday after the shows are posted individual podcasts of each of our interviews. So you can listen. You don't have to listen to the whole thing. You can listen to each individual segment as a podcast. Again, one more time. Can I say it one more time, Paul?
Well, actually, it takes seven times to have it ingrained in your memory.
Seven? Oh, yeah. Man, I am way behind. PracticingCatholicShow.com. All right, that's it. That's all
okay.
I'll say.
I'll do it. I'll do it a couple times. PracticingCatholicShow.com. PracticingCatholicShow.com. There.
See,
we're pretty
this
close.
Is what, listeners, this is what you get when we have a little bit of extra time at the end of the show.
That's right.
You get, you just get, you get a blessing from Father Taphorn. You get just repeated redundancy from Paul and I.
Well,
all right.
Got to fill the time somehow.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Anyway, well, a very blessed Pentecost to you. I pray that this weekend is filled with the Holy Spirit and your life is filled with the Holy Spirit as you are listening to the voice of the Holy
Spirit.
Wear
something red to Mass.
That's right. Wear something red to Mass. And guess what? We got another show coming up next week. Next time on Practicing Catholic, as June arrives, so does another installment of the Archdiocesan Cup of Joe series. We'll speak with Kelly Walquist, who will be presenting on St. Joseph, Virginal Father of Jesus. Also, Justina Hausman-Kopp, writer, blogger, and mom to quadruplets on how to talk to our kids about racial justice. And lastly, our beloved Bishop Cousins is back at a look at what returning to Mass may look like. That's all coming up next time. In the meantime, hear the word, receive the grace, and practice the faith.
Thank you for listening to Practicing Catholic on Relevant Radio 1330. Practicing Catholic is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. To listen to past shows or to contact us, visit practicingcatholicshow.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by searching Practicing Catholic Show. And we'll see you again next week.